Let's sharpen some knives and let's eat. It's 9:06, 6 minutes after 9 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Slight chance of thunderstorms. High today 95. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. One of the biggest things I always hear is that this administration cares so much about the small business person, and that Democrats and Barack Obama and most Democrats in general just don't care for small business. Well, one of the guys that's been blowing the whistle on this for a long time is Lloyd Chapman, president of the American Small Business League. And every time there's a development, we always have Lloyd on because we do care about small business people. And we realize that small business people are the heartbeat of any community. So it's good to have you back, Lloyd. And the Associated Press reported that firms within 50 miles of the White House received nearly a dollar of every $3 in federal contracts given to small firms. In addition to a full story on the issue in businessweek.com, the AP released a video news package regarding difficulties facing small companies attempting to do business with the federal government. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. Basically, what the AP investigation found is about over 33% of all federal small business contracts go to firms within about 50 miles of the White House. And one thing that they touched on very lightly is that most of those companies are Fortune 500 companies. So the truth is that the federal government is supposed to do 23% of all of its purchasing with small businesses. And the reality is at least 33%, but I think it's potentially it's up to 50%, is done within 50 miles of the White House with Fortune 500 companies. So, you know, Colorado's losing billions of dollars in federal funds that should be going to that state, because it's going to what I call these Beltway Bandits up in the D.C. area.
Is this because these folks have a lot of friends on K Street?
Absolutely. In fact, absolutely. I've seen evidence of some of the biggest, most powerful lobbying firms in Washington have been behind lobbying and actually writing the policies that have allowed Fortune 500 corporations to get small business contracts. And I actually had a strange situation. A guy who worked for one of the biggest lobbying firms in Washington flew out here to California and met with me and basically had been working there for years lobbying for what I call this anti-small business legislation. He'd made a ton of money. He was retiring. And he came out to California and offered to help me because he felt guilty about what he'd done the last, 20, 30 years in Washington.
I've asked you this before. How is it that they're able to maintain this fable that they care so much about small business when in reality their actions do not demonstrate that they do? And plus, on top of that, nobody in the media, and I guess we've talked about this part before, nobody in the media has really talks about this. I mean, is that how they're able to do it?
Absolutely. In fact, what I've discovered, much to my astonishment, is that all the people that, as a normal citizen 5-6 years ago, that I thought were there to help me turned out to be my worst enemy. So the Small Business Administration, which most people think is there to help small businesses, the Small Business Administration is the agency that has drafted the policies and legislation that have business contracts to large companies. And then groups like the National Federation of Independent Business and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that I thought were there to help small businesses turn out to be conservative groups that essentially lobby or the legislative agenda for Fortune 500 companies. And if anyone doubts that, go to their website and look at their legislative agenda, then go to the website of the, the American Heritage Foundation,
right,
the American Enterprise Institute, same thing. So unfortunately, also a Journal Accounting Office investigation came out, I think it was 3 years ago, that says the Bush administration spends $2 million a day in public relations fees. So they hire 3, 4, 5 of the largest public relations firms in the world, and they're spending, $2 million a day, and that's how they're continuing to perpetuate this myth that Bush and the Republican Party is pro-small business, when in reality they're very, very much anti-small business.
So what they're doing is they're spending this money with these PR firms to hype up their image. And then, of course, they get out and give these speeches about deregulation and about how, you know, they that about taxes and about how they care and that they're going to, that the Democrats are going to smother small business. And you heard this on and on and on again. And the average small business person doesn't have the time, doesn't have the, you know, they just don't have the time. I mean, they're working their cans off. So they have the time to sit down there and go through all this information and find out that essentially what they're being fed is just a line of lies. And so is the rest of the American people.
Yeah, it's actually shocking. When I first, you know, got involved in this, I got involved in this when I lost a federal small business contract to a company in Amsterdam with, I think, 17,000 employees around the world. And the people I called that I thought would help me with this turned out to be the people that actually, you know, were involved in getting those policies passed. So it's quite a bit different than you think it is. So what I would say to people is, you know, this issue about small businesses, and this is an example, by the way, of 100 other issues in government, it's quite different than you think it is. And I have a little saying that I tell people, quit listening to what someone says and watch what they do. And if you look at what George Bush has done and what he's doing, he has cut the SBA, the only agency to help small businesses. He's cut it in half. He's changed the mission from helping small businesses to hurting small businesses. And I'll tell you something, Jay, I have a very serious concern. They got this new guy now who's taken over the SBA in a matter of days. And I'm very concerned that before Bush leaves office, he's going to take one last shot at dismantling federal small business programs by escalating the federal definition of a small business to allow very, very large companies to participate. And my biggest fear is I think he might try to close the SBA by combining it with the Commerce Department, which is a trick that Republicans have used in the past to close agencies that they don't like. So Bush is anti-small business by his, you know, by his actions. And forget what he talks about, and he's the most anti-small business president in my lifetime, and probably one of the most anti-small business presidents that we'll ever have.
9:13, 13 minutes after 9 here on AM 760, a Progressive Talk. Our special guest is Lloyd Chapman, president of American Small Business League. Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. You've been involved in this for a long, long time. How does what's going on now, how does that compare to what, say, was going on under Clinton?
Well, you know, that's a good question. People ask me that from time to time. And I'll have to say I don't have the data from the Clinton administration. Every time I want to look at some information about who's getting federal small business contracts, I'm in federal court for 18 months, and I'm going to have to spend, you know, $50,000, $60,000.
Right, and you've come on here and talked about this before, that that you've tried to get this information out of the federal government before, and that what they basically do is they basically just drag their feet. I mean, they keep you in court, right?
Absolutely. In fact, information that I'm asking for should be just readily available. Anybody should be able to go online and see who's getting government contracts, and if they say they're a small business or large business. But under the Bush administration, if you want to see who's getting federal small business contracts, you better have deep pockets and a lot of time, because they don't want you to see that information. So I'll have to say something. I would imagine that at some level this problem was there during the Clinton administration, but I blame George Bush because it was exposed when he was president. So in 2002, the Journal Accounting Office did a big investigation and found thousands and thousands of large businesses were getting small business contracts. Bush should have fixed it. As opposed to fixing it, what he did was actually make it worse. So what they've done is take federal policy, and I guess this time last year, actually, Stephen Preston adopted a federal policy that allows Fortune 500 companies and some of the largest firms in Europe to keep getting U.S. government small business contracts until the year 2012. Now, that's an example of what George Bush has actually done. So they're not trying to help small businesses. They're trying to help the Fortune 500 corporations that fund their political campaigns. And it's just a matter of, you know, fact. The information's there for everyone to see.
See, you know what the problem is? I get this feeling. No, it's not a feeling. I know I'm right about this. There's so much wrong going on here. There's so much that isn't right, you need a book the size of a dictionary to keep track of all of the things that are going on. And it's just really hard. I mean, it's hard to keep all of this stuff straight. But the answer I always get is I always get the same answer. Well, I'm a small business person. The GOP favors us. I'm better off under, you know, whoever the GOP candidate is than I am under a Democrat. Now, most of us don't have on hand the information you've got, and it's hard to just unroll all these facts and say, well, yeah, but if you think so, go look at this. See what I'm saying? I mean, in other words, they've got this so ingrained in people's heads that it's just impossible to yank it out. And plus, you know this because you've run into it and we've talked about it before. You can't get the media's help in any way, shape, or form to try to get the media to help you out to be able to tell this story. I mean, how many media outlets have you gone to? You've gone to a ton of them and nothing ever happens.
It's very, very difficult because the companies that are getting the small business contracts like Lockheed and Boeing and Halliburton, those are the people that are running ads on all the major networks. In fact, I've just been astonished lately to see, you know, just the airwaves are flooded with ads from the oil companies. They're all over CNN. They're all over the place.
Hey, yes, I've noticed that, too. I've noticed it about Boeing. And I've sat back and thought to myself, listen, they're running these ads. Boeing is running these ads. But as a consumer, I'm not going out and buying a jet plane. Well, what they're actually doing is they're enhancing their image.
It's all PR. And to tell you the truth, I saw a story on the internet about a year ago, and I think the title of it was called Payola Through Advertising. And the guy was putting forth the notion that major corporations run these institutional ads on television, not because they're trying to get people to buy their products, because it is Boeing and Lockheed and people like that, but they're trying to have influence with the with that network. So if you're running ads on CNN or ABC or NBC, they're much less likely to do stories, you know, about your company and any types of illegal, you know, things your company's doing. But there's a reason for it, and the ads are all very similar if you watch them. They're particularly on CNN on Sunday. Lockheed and Boeing, these big companies run these ads, and I saw one the other day had a guy in a wheelchair, you know, working at Boeing, I think it was, and, you know, it's all like, you know, we're in this together, we're here for you. And the truth is, I think a Boeing vice president went to prison a few years ago because they cheated the government out of, like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, right? But no one saw that story because, you know, Boeing runs these ads and all the major networks, and, you know, they did kind of covered it up a little bit. But it's very upsetting.
You know, the days of, and I don't know if you ever saw this movie or not, but Good Night and Good Luck, and the days of all of that are over with now.
That was a good movie. George Clooney, right?
Right. Particularly the scene where he gets called into William Paley's office, and William Paley says, you know, listen, such and such sponsor is putting a lot of pressure on us. Yeah. And this could cost us a lot of money, but, you know, I'm going to stand behind you, but, you know, you better be right, or whatever the case was. And those days now are gone. They're gone. They're gone throughout the media, and now you're right. I mean, the people who sit at CNN, CBS, MSNBC, NBC, I don't mention Fox because they're just a propaganda arm of the GOP. But, if you look at them, I can see that. They're sitting there saying, okay, Boeing is spending X amount of dollars. Lloyd Chapman doesn't advertise. So we're not going to make Boeing mad, because if we make Boeing mad, then what Boeing is going to do is Boeing is going to turn around and tell us they're going to pull their advertising. And we have a bottom line to make, because we have shareholders that we're responsible to. But let me ask you this. Have you ever tried, like, National Public Radio?
Yeah, I've been on NPR a couple of times. And but here's a funny thing that happens. Now, because I've been out there on the radio and newspapers and magazines talking about the government diverting small business contracts to large corporations, I've sort of had all these people contact me in other areas like mine, where the government's, you know, doing things they're not supposed to be doing and you know, cheating the public. And so I've got all this information coming in, and a group here in California called Project Censored. I was talking to that guy. I had lunch with him yesterday. And it's amazing Basically, as I understand it, large corporations have put themselves on the boards of all the big public relations firms.
Oh, yes, so that's exactly right.
Yeah. So the big PR firms are consolidating so that there's only like, you know, three or four, you know, major PR firms in the country. If you look at the board of directors of the major PR firms, it's Lockheed and Boeing and Halliburton, whatever. And they've done that on purpose so they can control the media. And I think what happened to me a couple years ago when I was at NBC. Yeah, the Tom Brokaw show spent a week in California, like six guys filming a story about me. Well, it never ran. And the reason it never ran was I found out later on that General Electric owns NBC, and I had exposed some fraudulent companies that GE was using as subcontractors on their contracts to build jet engines for the Air Force. I also found out that the Bush administration, you know, uses these big PR firms. And so what happens is if they find out that a story is going to be coming out that they don't like, well, the big PR firms are the ones that represent, you know, the Fortune 1000 corporations' advertising budget. You're talking about, you know, all the major product lines, right? You know, General Motors and Coca-Cola and all that stuff, right? So, you know, they'll call up a newspaper or a television station and say, hey, you know, I'm saying you're going to do the story about Lloyd Chapman and this diversion of small business contracts. You know, and my client, you know, over here, you know, doesn't really like that. And we kind of don't want our ad running in the paper if you're going to run that story about Chapman. Are we, you know, he's not comfortable having his commercial running, you know, if you're going to run that story about Chapman, whatever. So the big PR firms have huge clout to talk to media outlets to get them to pull stories. And it sounds real conspiratorial, but when you look at it, you can see it. You can see who's on the board of directors of the big PR firms. But, you know, the General Accounting Office did an investigation, what was it, like three or four years ago, again, about Bush. And, you know, it's not a conspiracy theory. You can read the GAO investigation. The Bush administration spends $2 million a day on public relations.
Well, see, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think the public realizes or gets the idea that what you've got going on now as opposed to the old days is you've got bean counters and you've got people who are interested in profits, not programming, and that all the integrity has been sucked out of the bone marrow of these news operations and the media at large, and it's criminal. I mean, like a good example of this, I think this is a wonderful example, actually, is you go look at the broadcast company Citadel, which you're out in California, right? Are you in Southern California?
Yeah, I'm in Northern California.
All right. Citadel owns KGO out there and also KSFO. They have a station here in Colorado Springs, KVOR. They've got stations all over the country, and they've got stations in big markets because they bought ABC. So they've got WLS in Chicago and WABC in New York. Fareed Suleiman, who is the CEO of Citadel, got paid $11 million last year, and their stock closed on the stock market yesterday at 85 cents a share.
My God.
Okay, but this is what we've got going on in this country. And it's greed. And greed has taken a hold of everything and every facet. And one of the places it's grabbed is the media. And we need media reform terribly. Because people like yourself who have legitimate stories that other people in small business ought to find out about, there's no place for you to go.
Yeah, I don't talk about it much because it sounds, you know, like something off the X-Files, but I'll tell you what's happened to me 100 times. The Boston Business Journal called me about 18 months ago, and a young reporter for the Boston Business Journal was on this story, and he called me every day for like 2 weeks, and he was very enthusiastic. He wrote this fantastic story. People can see it. It's on my website. On the ASBL.com under media, and he wrote this fantastic story about how, you know, Fortune 500 companies are getting small business contracts. The story came out, and he would never talk to us ever again.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me. Yep. All right, if people want to find out more information about this, where do they go?
Well, they go to our website, ASBL.com, and take a look at under the media section. We've got press releases and news stories. And just about 2 weeks ago, the Department of the Interior Inspector General, must be a brave man, came out with a report that says the Department of the Interior is giving millions of dollars in small business contracts to Fortune 500 companies. So, you know, federal investigations are coming out that sort of back up everything I've been saying for, you know, 5 or 6 years now. And this AP story, again, you know, came out just the other day. So I think people are sort of losing their fear of the Bush administration because as his administration winds down, more and more stories about this are coming out.
Well, let's hope so. So that's ASBL.com, right?
That's it.
All right, Lloyd, thanks. It's always great to have you on. Please keep us in the loop because, you know, we're always ready to give you a little publicity and help you out.
Well, Jay, I love your show, and you're one of the people we can always count on to help tell the truth out there, and all your listeners need to appreciate you because you're the guy that tells the truth.
Well, thanks. Lloyd, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. So don't let anybody tell you that we don't care about small business here. And that I don't care about small business, and that progressives don't care about small business, because we do. And we realize the place it holds. 9:27, 27 minutes after the hour, here's John Turk, gets down to traffic business. The Foo Fighters. Doing some wings here. What's that guy's name of the Foo Fighters? David Grohl? Yeah. What happened there? It just collapsed. Where'd we go? The whole thing. Oh, man. I'm telling you what, man. Somebody's jamming. We got a computer virus loose in the building or something. All right. 9:31, 31 minutes after the hour. It's open phones 303-713-7000. 600. John, are you okay in there?
No, man. I just wish this morning would end.
Oh, man. You look like you had grabbed two battery terminals. When that happened.
You've seen me throw my hat around in here this morning.
Yell. Yeah. But you really looked shocked that time when it just went over into something else. It's like, oh, my God, what is that? All right, let's go to Dave in Arvada. Dave, you're on AM760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, good. Hey, I am a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, welcome. So
I appreciate all you're doing. I just wanted – all this media stuff that you're talking about is right to the point. And there's something that I just came across of a couple weeks ago called net neutrality.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, and it's scary. I mean, it's in the U.S. Senate. They're debating it now. Ed Mackey, I believe, is the Democratic representative that's leading the charge to protect the Internet. And I'm just wondering if you can give some more insight on that. My understanding is that the telecom communication systems are trying to regulate the Internet, basically choose what sites we have access to.
Right.
And then we have to pay for additional sites if we want information, which basically ends democracy, ends free speech. 60%, more than 60% of the Internet, I believe, is independent people. It's not corporations.
Yeah, and they've also got one other plan, too, that they're trying out in selected markets and that they would like to spread across the United States. And that is, if you're a heavy user of the Internet or your site generates a heavy amount of traffic, they want to charge you more.
Just because the site's getting more hits.
Right. Or you're using more. In other words, if you're on all the time. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm on the Internet a lot.
Yeah, I am, too.
Okay, so they would come after people like us over usage. And net neutrality is a big issue that doesn't get enough coverage. But there is an organization that is involved in trying to fight this whole issue of net neutrality. And it's called, I believe it's called freepress.com. And you can go check them out, and you can get active not only in net neutrality, but also in media issues. And we've had them on before, and John, make a note in there that we'll get in contact with them again over, and we'll have them come on and talk about net neutrality, because you're right, the Internet is the last place for folks like us.
Well, and it's just interesting. I'm talking with, I emailed about 55 of my friends and just said, hey, just take a look at this, and almost every one of them have never heard of it. They never even heard that anything like this was going on. They didn't know it was in the Senate.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. These people with Free Press, I think it's freepress.com.
Okay.
You can sign up with them, and they will send you, which you can pass on to your friends. They will send you news alerts and a newsletter every couple of days telling you what's going on, tracks legislation. And then you can do the small thing like I do, which is I give them $25 a month.
Okay.
And they're really the only ones out there. There's a couple of other ones out there, but they're really the chief one that's out there going to bat for net neutrality and for going up against big broadcasting interests. And they're one of the few people that's doing it. One of the few organizations, and they're good, solid people.
Okay, yeah. And another one I came across was Open Internet Coalition, which is another one that's SaveTheInternet.com.
Right,
is another one. So, well, that's great, Jay. I appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you something. I understand where you're coming from. Let me tell you. I got so this was about 6 months, 7 months, 8 months ago. My deal here was coming up, and I thought for a month or two, I thought, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get out of being on the air, and I'm going to form a 501(c) or whatever they call it,
yeah.
And I'm going to make it my entire mission in life to fight media consolidation and the unfairness on the airwaves, because I'm so passionate about it and I'm so angry about it. And now that there's this threat against the internet, that just fuels me up even more.
Yeah.
It really does.
Well, this whole, obviously we're in agreement on the way this country has just been in a downward spiral with this Bush administration, but this is one more example of how corporations haven't had any regulations, haven't had any oversight. There's no one really watching or monitoring if these things are affecting our freedoms and affecting our liberties. And by the time these things get rolling, sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's at a point where, you know, where do you go to actually get the true information? And the internet right now is it.
That's exactly right, man. You are 100% right. Hey, thank you, man.
Hang in there.
And we'll do a net neutrality thing. I promise.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care.
Hey, John, you want a bit of sweet news?
Yeah.
At 9:37, 37 minutes after the hour.
Vincent Carroll's coming on the show tomorrow?
No.
Oh.
Stop with that. Robert Novak, right?
Yeah.
One of the big all-time bottom feeders.
Yeah.
Was cited after he hit a pedestrian with his black Corvette in downtown Washington, D.C. Wednesday morning.
Really?
The idea that he drives a Corvette, I'm shocked. At his age? What is he, 125?
Yeah, you'd think he'd be like in a Buick Town Car or something.
Said Robert Novak was in police custody after he hit a pedestrian with his black Corvette in downtown Washington, D.C. Wednesday morning. A political reporter saw Novak in front of a police car with a citation in his hand. The pedestrian was hospitalized.
That's not funny.
Well, it's not funny, but it's funny to see Novak. So I wonder if Novak, like, if he's in police custody, so what did he do? Did he, like, smart off to him or something? So they had to hook
contempt
him up and take him downtown?
Contempt of cop?
And the guy's 77 years old.
The pedestrian was?
No,
or Novak.
Novak
is.
And he's earned a reputation around the Capitol as an aggressive driver. Easily identified in his convertible sports car.
Well, look out. Here comes Novak in that red Corvette.
Novak was supposed to have said, "Learn to read the signs. Bodily orifice," Novak snapped before speeding away, according to the item in the Washington Post. Although, this happened back in 2001. In 2001, the longtime political columnist cursed at a pedestrian on the corner of Pennsylvania and 13th Street Northwest for allegedly jaywalking.
What is it with these columnists?
No, what is it with Novak?
Man. What did he scream as he drove off?
Okay, this is the quote from the Washington Post.
This is
ready?
Great.
Learn to read the signs, bodily orifice.
Love that.
Oh! I think I'm going to start a blog called Bodily Orifice.
I'm starting a band named that.
Yeah, really. All right, 939. What's traffic look like? Forty-three minutes after the hour. J. Marvin, AM 760, a Progressive Talk. Good morning. Slight chance thunderstorms, high 95. I wanted to hear some older Stones, but that's okay.
I'll get you some next time.
I like that classic old stuff, man. You know, like Last Time or All Over Now or Mother's Little Helper. Anyway, 943, it's open phones, 303-713-7600, and we go to... Alan in San Mateo. Alan, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, I almost got my story out yesterday. I think I might be able to get a little bit more out of it today. I'm in a good spot, good reception. Can I tell it?
Go ahead.
All right, here's what happened to me. I got nosy with somebody Bill Clinton pardoned. Shortly thereafter, a powder in an envelope arrived at a company that fired me.
Okay, wait. When you say you got nosy, what do you mean by that?
Well, there's a murderer in Denver that Clinton set free from death row while he was governor of Arkansas. Okay? This is a guilty, condemned to die
okay,
murderer.
Okay, but wait a minute. But I'm not trying to cross-examine you. I'm just trying to make sure I understand this. What do you mean by when you say nosy? I mean, you looked into it. You got to be friends with the guy. I mean, what was the connection there?
Okay, I'm an alcoholic in recovery. So is he. I met him in AA, and I chose him as a sponsor.
Ah, okay. I see.
I was curious as to why Clinton let him go. And what he told me was this. It was an act of God. I was just free one day. Praise Jesus. You know, that's a bunch of horseshit. I figured this out now.
All right. You know what? I mean, jeez. Gone. I mean, swears, and you just, like, what are you going to do? I think the guy is not totally out of recovery. That's what I think. And why he picks on me, I don't know. Wasn't he call one of the other radio stations?
Like he was that close to getting it out, Jay.
Like he could call KNUS. Oh no, I'm sorry, they don't have any live programming on over there. Well, all right. Howard, Denver, Howard, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Jay.
Hey.
Hey, Jay. I'm having a problem with Michael Savage and his stupid comment about the kids with autism. That's a very bad and sick disease. Some kids have it at a mild level, and some of them have it at an extreme level. Jay, in America, all of us poor and middle-class people, we make up all the financing that you have in this country. We have more money than all the rich people put together when we put our nickels and our pennies and our dimes together. And what we need to do is stop paying people to discriminate against us. When Bill Bennett... He also made a stupid comment about how to alleviate crime by aborting all black kids.
Oh, I remember that. That's a guy who wrote a book on ethics, and then later, of course, got caught gambling.
Yes, the same moron. Well, let me tell you what we need to do. I was in the process. I wanted to get a new truck. I was going to go to GM and get a new truck, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go get me a nice, clean, used truck. I'm not buying anything else new, mainly because... GM, Ford, Toyota, they pay people like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. And when we go and buy these people products, we are actually paying people to discriminate against us. And that right there is not going to happen any longer. The American people need to wake up and realize we have the power. All we have to do is save our money because, as you very well see today, we need every penny we can get. And every time they put those Republicans into the Oval Office, or give them control of all these federal offices, the only people that we be hurting when we do that is ourselves.
What we really need, you know what we really need to do? What we really need to do is we need all of us who care anything about this subject to band together and demand of our lawmakers and demand of the federal government that they look into and take seriously the idea of media reform and news and information versus opinion. And I know that regulating content is a very, very slippery place to go. But there's got to be an answer. There's got to be an answer to the question of what Lloyd Chapman was talking about how you can't get stories run because, you know, Boeing is a big sponsor and Boeing is gonna pull off. Maybe what we need is we need viable, more viable community radio stations. Maybe that's the answer. Or the answer is going to be in the future to turn to the internet. For instance, I know I read this in an article in one of the car magazines. BMW, and I can't remember what year this is going to happen. It's either going to happen next year or the year after. They're going to give you access to the internet in your car via the Edge system, which is one of the systems that AT&T uses. And if that happens, that means that you can go and listen to anything that's available out there on the net. So that busts open the monopoly that these big boys have. But for people who can't afford that kind of technology, we have to do something. But I don't know where you draw the fine line between fooling around with content versus knowing that something that's being done is, you believe, harmful to society, whether you stop that or not. I mean, in the past, we've always had somebody big enough and strong enough that would stand up and call somebody's bluff, like Walter Cronkite or Edward R. Murrow or somebody like that. We don't have that now. I mean, you know, somebody who would stand up and call Savage out.
Oh, yeah. But those young ladies who gathered around his radio station, that's how you call them out. And, Jay, you're absolutely right. But, Jay, there's another thing. See, these guys only understand one thing, and that is when you take that hot money that they have in their pocket so abundantly, when you start eliminating their ability to collect so much money, that's the only thing these guys hear, Jay. That's the only thing they hear. And one last thing, Jay, before I go. I heard what Barack Obama had for breakfast over in Afghanistan. He had bacon and eggs. A Muslim do not eat bacon.
That's right. They don't eat. You're right. They don't eat pork.
They don't eat pork. They wouldn't even touch a swine. They like Jewish people. Jewish people do not eat pork. They eat kosher food. So the thing is, Jay, it's time. But, Jay, I'm serious with a heart attack. After they start putting these Republicans in office, Jay, I start saving my money. You have to save your money. That's the only thing that works. We don't want to get into no situation because I don't have any problem with different dialogues. But when the dialogues start getting mean and nasty and raunchy, no, it's time for somebody to put the water hose on that bad boy. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and I've been doing it for a little while. When I found out that Denny's didn't like my kind to eat there, don't worry about it, Denny's. I don't go in there at all. So I keep my money in my pocket and keep it in the bank and do not let it burn a hole in my pants, and I leave it right there in the bank. And that's where it will be until we come to a more civil understanding of how to communicate with one another, because Michael Savage is a moron, and I know it. But he's a public figure, and he's got a big audience, and he's got a bunch of people who listen to exactly everything he say. And one last thing, Jay. I was listening to the radio over the weekend. I heard Billy Cunningham. He was all over birth rates in the black community. But you know what, Jay? They can't give us the out-of-wedlock birth in the white community because, first, they can't get on those polygamy compounds and count the out-of-wedlock births there, and they can't even get into the Appalachians and find out.
No, well, you know what? Those figures are there, but they never present those because they only present one side. It's called the black pathology business. Hey, man, thanks. I appreciate the call.
Hey, thank you, Jay, and you have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
9:52, 52 minutes after the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. John Turk, traffic. Oh, yeah, Early Stones. I believe this was cut at the Chess Studios in Chicago on South Michigan Avenue. Up under the bed. That's right. Have mercy. Now that is so raw. Don't you dig that, John?
Mercy, good stuff, yeah.
I mean, it's raw.
Have I have a box set of four discs, all the early Stone stuff. Can't think of what it's called.
I love all the early stuff. I'd have to say they're my favorite rock and roll band. All right, that's it for this morning. Look for the high today to get up to 95, so enjoy the heat. And we'll attempt to resurrect and move forward again tomorrow morning. Remember, as long as the sun's up and you're above ground, anything's possible.